First of all, I apologize for keeping you waiting. I got a little bit carried away the last place I was, and it took me a little bit longer to get here than I thought, so I'm sorry. It's not usually my Munich Kiefene Torah waiting and all the Bittel Torah that comes from that I don't need on my Cheshvan even this early in the year. And so I hope that you will forgive me. I feel it necessary to start with something that I learned from my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, that when somebody does something right, you have to tell him he did something right. We learned that from the Rabbanu Shel Olam by Beno Slavchot. Beno Slavchot asked a good question, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, before he answered the question, he told them, Kein Beno Slavchot Dobros. He told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them, he asked a good question. So they should know, they should get the chizuk that they did something right. B'nai Torah that have Bein Hazmanim, especially Bein Hazmanim, where there's so many good hatzdokos, that there's so much mitzvahs to do Chol HaMoed besides learning, and shortly listening to Divrei Torah from other people, there's plenty of reason to think that it's not necessary. But the truth is that the whole purpose of Chol HaMoed is that you should be able to learn more. That was what Chol HaMoed, the Iker Kavon of Chol HaMoed was. So whoever organized that you should be a yeshiva ben hazmanim, even on a small level, came but no slavcha dobros, did something right, did something good. That's what Chol HaMoed is all about. That's what Bein Hazmanim is all about altogether. So very, very fine. And therefore, even though my schedule is not that easy and it's the only time of the year that I have to spend some time with my family, but for something like this, I couldn't say no. Something already is Moser Nefesh. To do what's right on Chol HaMoed, I can't refuse to be part of it. And I'm very happy to be part of it. The Sholosh Regalim are Pshuto Kamashmo Sholosh Regalim. There are three. The Gemara says that that in Olam Haba, so there are Shulchanos with Gimel Regalim, three-legged tables. That's what gives it a bosses. Sholosh Regalim are the three legs of the table in this world that give Klal Yisrael Shleimus. Those three legs, each one is mashlim, a different idea of Klal Yisrael that makes every year another Shleimus of what Klal Yisrael is. That's why on every Yom Tov, we'll see that the other two Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, also have a connection to Sholosh Regalim. But the Iker are Yom Tovim or Sholosh Regalim, and each one reveals another aspect and brings another shlav in the shleimus of Klal Yisrael. What are they? What are these aspects of Sholosh Regalim? And after we discuss that, we'll, towards the end, speak more specifically about Sukkos and how Sukkos is the tashlum, is the shleimus of all the Yomim Tovim. We say in the beginning of the Kedushas Hayom of Sholosh Regalim, Ato v'chartonu mikolo amin, Havto sonu, Ratziso bonu, Romantonu mikol ha-leshonos, V'kidashtonu b'mitzvosecho, V'kiravtonu malkeinu l'avodosecho, V'shimcho ha-gogol v'akodosh oleinu korosu. Sounds like a lot of separate things, but they're not. In my estimation, there are really three things that are mentioned here. And each one has something that is parallel to it. There's two parts to this tefillah, and they are symmetrical, meaning the following. Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim is the first stage of the development of Klal Yisrael. The Ribono Shel Olam chose us from all the nations of the world and gave us a mission that no other nation has. That's Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. How did the Ribono Shel Olam choose us? And what was that mission per se, and how was that mission fulfilled? That is the first of the next three phrases. The Romantonu mikol ha'leshonos. The romantono mikol aleshonos is the atav v'chartono mikol olam. The Rabbanu Shel Olam exalted us above all the languages, and that was our bechira, but it's more than that. The romantono mikol aleshonos means kimashmo, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam exalted us from all the other languages that people speak. The language that a nation speaks represents its neshama. The neshama of a Frenchman is represented by the French language. And the neshama of an American is represented by American English. And it's very different than the neshama of an Englishman who's English. Different language. Not the same language, not the same neshama. And a Russian, his neshama is represented by the Russian language. We have a language that's called Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, and Rambam says, not only Hebrew, but Lashon HaKodesh is more than just the tzura of the language. Lashon HaKodesh also means what you speak. Torah is Lashon HaKodesh. Divrei Kedusha is Lashon HaKodesh in any language. What we speak about and the way that we speak it and the language we were given to speak it in represents the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us a Neshama Kedosha that is different than all the nations of the world. They all have neshamas, but not the same kind of neshama we have. They're all Tzelem Elokim, but not the same Tzelem Elokim that we are. We are Anoshim Kedoshim. They have to be Anoshim Tzadikim. A Goy can be a Tzadik, it can be a Chosid, but he can't be a Kodesh. We are Am Yisrael, Am Kodesh. So Atah V'chartonu Mikol HaAmim, Rabbanu Shalom, you chose us. You distinguished us from all the nations. How? V'romantonu Mikol HaLashonos. By giving us a Lashon HaKodesh that represents a Neshama Kedosha that makes us different than everybody else. That's the first thing. Ohavto, son. Not only did you give us that potential of Kedusha, but you gave us the ability to become Kedosha. Acha Kadosh, V'shimcha Kadosh, U'kdoshim b'chol yom yaluchasel. In order to have a kesher with the Rabbanu Shalom, you have to be a Kodesh. He's Kodesh. Kedoshim kiyu ki Kodesh ani Hashem lokech. You want to have a kesher with me? You have to be Kedoshim. So you gave us the ability to realize that Kedusha. Not only to have the potential to realize it. And that's Ava. Ava is wherever there's an affinity, a commonality, a kesher, a chibur. That's Ava. Ava in Gematria is Echad. Wherever there's an achdus, there's things that are similar, then there can be Ava. Ohavto, son. Rabbanu Shalom, you loved us because you gave us the ability to be like you. You're Kodesh, we can be Kodesh. How do we become Kodesh? V'kidashtonu b'mitzvosecha. You gave us mitzvah. That's like the Nefesh HaChaim says, asher kidashonu b'mitzvosecha. When a person does a mitzvah, he's enveloped with Kedusha. He doesn't feel it. Sometimes he does feel it. But the main thing is that Kedusha is there when Netzach Netzachim. That is the Kedusha that you have from the mitzvah itself. Bin mitzvosav comes the Kedusha. So the Kidashton of the mitzvosecha is the expression of Ohavto, son. How did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam show his love for us? Through the Kidashton of the mitzvosecha. And lastly, the Ratzisabon. Now, most Siddurim in the English translation translate the Ratzisabonu, and you desired us. Not only did you love us, but Ratzisabonu, you also desired us, which is probably a higher level than love, I guess. But that's not what it means. Because if that's what it meant, it should have said, V'ratzisa osanu, or hafta osanu, V'ratzisa osanu. No. It doesn't mean you desired us. Ratzisa banu means your desires are through us. The ratzisa, your ratzon in this world, Rabbanu Shalom, is banu, is through us. You made your ratzon dependent on us. How's that? Sounds wild. Rabbanu Shalom's ratzon is through us. Not so wild. Ratzon yirei av yasa. We ask in davening all the time. Yehi ratzon lufanecha. What are we saying? We want this to be your ratzon. We are initiating ratzon Hashem. Not only did you separate us from the nations of the world and give us a neshama that's different, not only did you give us the ability to bring out that difference and to have a kesher with you, but you make your ratzon based on us. The ratzon of the Rabbanu from this world, that's what it means by korbanos, through avoda. How does that work? The ratzisa banu, the keraktonu malkeinu l'avodosecha. Through avoda, avodas hatfila, avodas hakorbanos, avodas hatorah. We create, we initiate Ratzon Hashem in the world. The Rabbanu Shalom Ritzonos come through us. Osim Ritzono Shalmakom doesn't mean Mekayimim Ritzono Shalmakom. Not just we fulfill God's will. Osim Ritzono, we make the Rabbanu Shalom's will. Nachas Ruach, what's a carbon? Reach Nichoach, Nachas Ruach, Shomarti V'Nasa Ritzono. Not just Nitzkayim Ritzono, Nasa Ritzono. You made my Ratzon. You are the ones who create Ratzon Hashem. That's how korbanos work. That's the ritzui of a korban. The Ribbono Shel Olam functions in this world. He wants us to be the ones to initiate his Ratzon. He wants to function in this world based on what we do in this world. That's the highest level. And what's all the purpose of all of this? The Shimcha HaGadol VaHaKadosh Aleinu Karasim. That we should represent the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. His name should devolve on us. We should be a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. Mamleches Kohanim, a Kohen, is a Meshoris. A Kohen is a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want to give something to the Ribbono Shel Olam, give it to the Kohen. We are God's representatives to the world. How do we do that? We don't go around handing out his calling card. I represent God in case you need him. Here's the number. How do we represent the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world? Because we are a Goy Kodesh. We're a nation that takes the Kedusha that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, and through Kiyum HaMitzvos and Limud HaTorah, and Avodas Hashem, and Korbanos, and Tefillah, we create Ratzon Hashem in a way that devolves on us Kedusha. The way we eat is Kodesh, the way we sleep is Kodesh, the way we conduct our married life, our economic life, our political life, every aspect of a Jew's life is Kodesh, not just moral. The nations of the world can be moral. Yom Tov, I'll give you something to be happy about. Besides the Simchas HaTorah, that's already something that you have to have a palate for. Not everybody gets Simcha from Torah. That you have to be a gourmet. But this, you don't have to be a gourmet. I'll tell you an interesting story. I just told it over somewhere else, and I wasn't planning on saying it here, but say it, and I'm not going to share too much. But what a goy can be. I was once on a flight from New York to Cleveland. And there was some kind of engine trouble on the plane. They weren't telling us what it was. The plane was taxiing out to the runway, and instead of going on the runway, it pulled off the side and sat there for an hour. An hour. And everybody was getting nervous. What's going on? Nobody was telling us. So the crew decided that they have to calm the people down because everybody was getting nervous. So they started giving out free drinks, and I don't mean Coca-Cola. So they gave out these free drinks. And the Irishman behind me, it must have been in his mid-50s, had a few too many of these free drinks. And he got very happy and very boisterous, and he was going around the plane, finding all the people he knew from Cleveland who were on this plane from New York back to Cleveland, and he called them to stand around his seat. He has to tell them an interesting story. He was sitting right behind me. And he was talking so loud that if I was in another plane with earplugs, I still would have heard him. So I obviously felt that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me to hear what he was saying, because there was no other way out. So I decided I'll pay attention, hoping that it was not something that wasn't offered to hear. So he starts telling the following story to his friends. He says, you know that my wife died 6 months ago. I was in a terrible depression. And my son is a very, very wealthy physician in New York. He called me a few weeks ago and he said, Dad, I want you to get out of your depression. I want you to come to New York for a week, 10 days. I'll show you the town. You never were in the big city. You never saw what New York is like. I'm going to take you and show you all the sights of New York. So I agreed. He came. My son for the last week has showed me every sightseeing spot in New York. But last night was the zenith of our tour. Last night was it. Last night, my son took me to one of the 10 most luxurious restaurants in the world that happens to be in New York. I didn't catch the name. I'm sure the hashgacha is not up to my standards and didn't make that much of a difference. But he mentioned the name of a restaurant. This is one of the 10 most luxurious restaurants in the world. And we came to this restaurant. They sat us down at a table that was fit for King Arthur. Really, the furniture was unbelievable. The decor was unbelievable. And they give us a menu, half of it I couldn't even read. So, but I did notice that the most expensive thing on the menu was a 3-pound steak dinner, 7-course dinner, where the main course was 3 pounds of steak. You have to say what 3 pounds in a hamburger joint, you know, McDonald's or whatever, they give you a 1/4-pound hamburger. That's a quarter pound. 3 pounds of steak is 12 of them. Okay, now you know what you're talking about. A little cow. 3 pounds of steak. Okay? And this is just one, the main course. There's 6 other courses. The guy said, this is what he's telling his friends, I don't know if I'll ever be in a restaurant like this again in my life. My son is wealthy. He can afford it. I'm going to go for the top of the menu. I'm going to order the 3 pound steak, 7 course meal. And he did. He ordered it. They served it. He ate it. He finished the whole thing. After he finished the whole meal, he sees the 2 very distinguished gentlemen in tuxedos standing at his table. One of them says, I want to introduce myself. I am the maitre d' of this restaurant, and this is the owner of the restaurant. We want to let you know that you are the 7th person in the history of this restaurant who finished the 3 pound steak meal without asking for a doggy bed. And we want to give you this scroll as a remembrance of this memorable occasion. And we're going to fill in your name and tonight's date, and we're going to sign it, and you will have this scroll to remember for all times that you finished a 3 pound steak in this restaurant. So they fill out the scroll, they give it to him. The guy now has tears welling up in his eyes. He says that I felt so great when I got this scroll, but that wasn't everything. That was nothing. After this, they tell me, look opposite your table to the wall opposite your table. You will see 6 bronze plaques with names and dates on them. Those are the 6 people before you that finished the 3 pound steak meal. Now, I wanted to ask him, were there little bulbs on those little bronze plaques, because it would have been a very bad sign of what happened to the 6 people before. But I kept my mouth shut and continued listening. He says, tomorrow they told me they're going to go out and buy a 7th bronze plaque, put my name and the date, and my name will be on the wall of this fancy restaurant for all times. Everybody who comes here will know that I finished a 3 pound steak. The man now was crying, I promise you, mamish crying. And he said, Zeh Haloshen, he said, I feel fulfilled. I don't know if I have any purpose more to live. At that moment, I said a quick tefillah that before this plane takes off, somebody should get up on the plane, having heard this, because everybody heard it, right, and say, I know of a restaurant somewhere in the world that serves a 4 pound steak meal. What difference did it make to me? I was afraid in the Beis Mishlamah that they heard what he said, and they decided that it was right. He has no more purpose to live. And when the plane takes off, they're going to take him down, and I'm sitting in front of him. I didn't know if I had the schuyas for that. So I was hoping that by the time we took off, he would have some tachlis to live. A goy can live to be able to eat 3 pounds of steak in a restaurant. That should be the tachlis of his life. As long as he didn't steal the meat, he didn't curse the Rebbeinu Shlom because it was too tough. He didn't take it Eber Menachai, right? He wasn't immoral. He didn't serve Avodah Zarah with it, right? And he didn't murder anybody over it. He'll get Olam Haba. But if a Jew lives a life like that, right, he's a Machriv Mikdash, because he has to live a life of Kedusha, not just a life of Tzidkis, not just a life of morality, but a life of Kedusha. So Yid, we represent the Rebbeinu Shlom. When the nations of the world, or for that matter other Yidden, see how a Jew eats, and how he drinks, and how he conducts his business life, how he conducts his social life and his married life. It should be with such kedusha that people say there must be a God, because that's a godly way of acting. These are a godly people. That's our achrayus in this world. The Shimcha HaGogol VaHaKadosh Aleinu Karasa. We have God's name on us, and everything we do represents the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's the tachlis. How do we get it? Because the Kiddush Tanu Mitzvosecha, the Ratzitza Bonu, the Keratanu Malkeinu Lavodasecha. These 3 stages represent Shalosh Vigodim. After the Chartanu Mikolo Amim was Pesach, the Rebbeinu Shlom chose us, let us know what potential we have, gave us that Nishama Kedosha that we have, and let us free it, Zman Cheruseinu, to free up that Neshava Kedosha, which was Meshubit to the Yetzer Hara, Meshubit to Shibud Malchios of Mitzrayim, to free it up, to let us first feel it. Grom Antona Mikola Lashonos, Beshiachu Me'am Lois. So that was Pesach. Then came Shavuos. Shavuos is The king asked Tadu Mitzvah, Hafta also. The Rebbe Hashem gave us the mitzvahs. He gave us the Torah. First mitzvahs, Aseres HaDibros, he gave us. Basically, we had Shavuos. That's from then on, we're chayav the mitzvahs. The Rambam says, we're chayav the mitzvahs from Sinai. Not from anything before that. Not from Achei Yaakov. Tafka from Sinai. Sinai started the inyan of Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs. Pinchas. That even though Chazal constantly calls Shavuos Aseres, because it's the ultimate Aseres of the year, but the Torah never calls it Aseres. Torah only calls Atzeres to Shmini Atzeres and to Shmini Shal Pesach. Those are also days of Atzeres when you have a special yichud with the Rebbe Hashem. So the biggest yichud with the Rebbe Hashem was with Matan Torah. So therefore Chazal called it Atzeres. Why didn't Torah call it Atzeres? Says the Sfarim, because that Atzeres was bottled because of the Chet HaEgel. So it never really reached the level of an Atzeres that it should have been because it was bottled in Mafreya. After they were over the Egel, so it was Mavatel that Atzeres. Based on that, maybe we could say the following. That because of the Chet HaEgel, the Chochma of Pesach was Nifgam, and the Bina of Shavuos was Nifgam, and without Chochma and Bina, without the Beficha B'Vavcha, you can't come to the Das and the Las Oso. It's something that built up gradually, three stages. You can't get to the third stage unless you pass the first two stages. And the first two stages are Nifgam, so you can't get to the third stage. So the Chora, once we did tshuva for the Chet HaEgel, and once the Rebbe Hashem was misrata to be mechaper on us, but we needed something to compensate for what we lost. We lost to a certain degree the Chochma, the Beficha of Pesach, and the Bina and the Bilvavcha of Shavuos, which made a Sukkos possible. So we couldn't have Sukkos. When could we have Sukkos? When something was given to us to compensate for these two Yomim Tovim that were Nifka. What was given to us? Two other Yomim Tovim. Rosh Hashanah was Mashlim Pesach. You think about it, Rosh Hashanah and Pesach are mamish the same thing, just in different ways. What's Rosh Hashanah? Malchios Hashem. Malchios, again, you come to Hakara, the Rebbe Hashem is a Melech, Mitzvios Hashem, believe in the Rebbe Hashem, and it's all with your mouth. Either with the brachas of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, that's the Ikar Avod of Rosh Hashanah, and Shofros. So either you're not eating and talking, either you're talking, you're blowing Shofros. Both with your mouth. That's Chochmah. And the Gemara says, here Shofar is Chochmah v'lo Malach. It's a gather of Chochmah. That's Shofar. So what we lost on Pesach, in the realm of Chochmah and Beticha, the Rebbe Hashem gave us Rosh Hashanah to make up for it. That was Mashlim what we lost, that original Pesach. Yom Kippur was Matan Torah, second time. Lucha Shnius was given on Yom Kippur. And it's a day of Tshuva, Tzlicha Mechila, which is Kabbalah B'Leit. That's the Bilvavcha of Shavuos. Just like Kabbalah's, all our mitzvahs, right, through Tshuva, and Kabbalah's HaTorah, Mamish, is the Yom Kippur, was it became in place of Shavuos. That was Yom Matan Torah, Ruch HaShnias. So the Rebbe Hashem gave us Yom Kippur as to compensate for what we lost on Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah to compensate what we lost on Pesach, and once we had the compensation, once we had the Beficha again, and the Chachma, and the Bilvavcha, and the Bina, now you could have Das. Now you could have Las also. Now you could have Sukkos. So you couldn't have Sukkos until after Yom Kippur. It wasn't Shaykh. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Mashlim, Pesach, and Shavuos. Comes out that Sukkah is the Chibur between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, between the Olam HaRuchni and the Olam HaGashmi. That's what Sukkah represents. And in order to do that, how can it be that what's the Iker Chibur of Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa is to have the right perspective on Olam HaZeh. What is Olam HaZeh? If you understand what Olam HaZeh is, the Meiri says in a few places, Olam HaBa hu pri ha'Olam HaZeh. Olam HaBa is not a separate world. There aren't two worlds. There's one world. And Olam HaZeh is the place where you plant Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is a place you reap the, but it's not a different thing. It's the seed that you plant here is Olam Haba. What we do here, the mitzvahs, the maisim gashmiim that we do in this world, they translate lachar ne'ev esim shama in an Olam Aruchni to Ruchnis. That is the Torah you learn here. That is Olam Haba. The mitzvahs you do here, that is Olam Haba. Asher kedeshonu b'mitzvah sada, we said before in Nevi Nefshachayim. that Kedusha envelops you. Except you don't feel it till you're in Olam Aruchim. But then it's there. You created it with that mitzvah. You created it with that Torah. So it's not that Olam Hazeh is one world and Olam Haba is a different world. And we get paid. People think that Olam Haba, it's like the Schar and Onesh is like a carnival. You go to the carnival, there's games to play. You play the games. If you win, you get coupons. At the end of the day, you go to the prize booth and you cash in your coupons. You have a lot of coupons, you get a big beer. Little coupons, you get a small beer. Right? That's how it is. It doesn't work like that. Because the whole union of Schar and Onesh and why there's Bechira Chofshi in this world is in order that shouldn't be Nahamad the Sufa. It should be something we appreciate. But a person gets for free, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo would have been native to us, which was his Ratzo, to be native Lenivroi, a Tova native, it wouldn't have been the ultimate good, because we wouldn't have appreciated. So we have to earn. But earning it is not also the ultimate. I'll prove it to you. Somebody gives you one of these reclining chairs, right? Padded, leather, what's it called, recliners. You sit in it, you appreciate it. It's nice. But what if you had to work for a month, 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, to earn enough money to buy that chair? And after the month, you put your money, savings, into the chair, and you bought it, you brought it home, you sat in it. You for sure appreciate it more. But what if you planted the wood, cultivated it until it was big enough to cut down, and you made the frame of the chair from the wood that you cultivated, and then you mined the iron and made the nails to put the frame together, and you raised the sheep and sheared their wool to make the stuffing, and raised the cotton and made the material for the upholstery, and now you sat in the chair. Wouldn't you appreciate it more? What you create is more than what you earn. So it's not just that we earn Olam Haba, we create Olam Haba. Every mitzvah we do in this world creates the seed that later on is the fruit that's called in Olam Haba. It's not a different thing. The way the person works on the tree creates the fruit. Except that's one shlav, the second shlav. So if Olam Haba is the pre of Olam Hazeh, we create it. So you have to have the right outlook at what Olam Hazeh is. In order to give you that outlook, let me tell you an interesting medrash in Koheles Rabbah. Medrash says on the pasuk, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon. There are certain things that can't correct. They're crooked, they can never be straightened, never be corrected. So Medrash says, Moshel, Shnei Rishoyim, there were two Rishoyim who were partners in crime. They murdered, they robbed, plundered in this world together, partners. And one of them died, and he went to Gehenna. And he was in Gehenna many, many months, suffering in Gehenna. One day he looks up, and he sees the neshama of his partner being escorted into Gan Eden. He calls the Malach HaMamuna on the neshamas in Gehenna, and he says, look, there must have been some computer error, because that guy was my partner. When I murdered, he murdered. When I stole, he stole. We robbed banks together, right? So if I deserve to be here, so does he. And if he deserves to be there, then so do I, so get me out of here. So please find out either you're bringing him here or me there, because we were partners. Malach comes back, he says, there's been no error. He deserves to be there, you deserve to be here. He says, I get it. He bribed somebody. Just tell me how much and who, and I'll be willing to pay double. Just get me out of here. The Malach says, sorry, there is no bribery here. He says, hi, why is he there and I'm here? He says, you don't know what happened after you died. So you dropped dead one day in the middle of the street, and nobody wanted to bury you.